This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we pray that you will continue to fill our hearts with hope. That as we look to our past and live in our present, we may know that our future possibilities are endless when we live in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Happy New Year! Those of you who might be new to the Episcopal Church might not know that we begin our new liturgical year each year with the first Sunday of Advent. In our lectionary, the gospel readings that we hear each Sunday, as with most major Christian denominations, they're in a three-year cycle, year A, year B, year C. And that year begins with the first Sunday of Advent each year. We just completed year B, where we heard from the gospel written by Mark. We now move into year C, which is dedicated to Luke's gospel. And most of the Sundays we will be hearing from Luke. And what a gospel we begin with today. Distress among the nations, confused, roaring, people fainting from fear and foreboding of what is coming. It sounds like the Black Friday rush at Walmart. But there is a connection, actually. We need to understand what are called these apocalyptic readings. Apocalyptic's a fancy word that means when you talk about the end of time. And we hear about the end of time in Luke's gospel, as we do in the other gospels as well, usually this first Sunday of Advent when we light the first candle. We hear something about the end of time. And it's not that uncommon in Scripture. As a matter of fact, we hear it in the Old Testament as well. The book of Daniel, the Jeremiah reading that is appointed as our first reading for today, had we done all the readings, and several different times. But the problem is, we misinterpret what these things are about. It's not to scare us. It's not to have us shaking in our boots because we think that the world is going to end very soon. You get all these crazy people, watch that movie 2012, and now they're all scared to death about, oh my gosh, we only got about 2.5 years left. That's not what this is about. It's just the opposite. What these apocalyptic readings in the gospel and in the New Testament, the Old Testament are all about, it's for those who have been faithful. Those who have been doing their best to live a good life and follow God, to understand that when all this craziness does happen at the end of time, Jesus will claim the victory, and there we will be standing celebrating the victory with him. In a word, these apocalyptic readings are to give us hope. To give us hope that regardless of how things might have been in our past or might be now in our present, there is a future that we will celebrate the victory forever with Christ. And that is the word of hope that we hear today. So it becomes important for us to be a people of hope. And yet in this season that we celebrate, it can be sometimes very difficult to be hope-filled. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me today. I love Christmas. I love the Christmas lights. I make my family get in my car in the convertible and drive and go up to Florida Mango Road to see the Christmas light displays up there, even if they don't want to do it, because it's something we do. I love the presents and the parties and the eggnog and everything that goes with it. It's all fantastic. But the challenge we have is I love Advent as well. Because Advent is this beautiful season that the church gives us to reflect, first of all, on hope. To reflect upon what really matters in this season. I'm going to ask you a practical question that helps me to get to the meat of what I want to talk about today. How many of you remember what you got for Christmas last year? You have to think about it, don't you? We always have to think about it. How many of you remember who didn't send you a Christmas card last year? You probably can't remember. Because what becomes so important to us to too great a degree are the things that really don't matter. And so we need to focus as we begin this season. Breathe. Take it easy. The catchphrase that I've used every year on this first Sunday of Advent is, it always gets done. And if it doesn't get done, you're not going to remember a year from now anyway. Your neighbors are not going to be upset with you because there's one string of lights that you didn't put on your house that you did a year before. The people who don't get the Christmas card this year, it just maybe wasn't supposed to happen. The word that the gospel uses today might be a little confusing. It says, don't get caught up with dissipation. That's not a word we use very often, is it? Dissipation. But what it means is extravagance. It means we overemphasize something to such a point that it becomes controlling of us. And at the same time, ends up giving us negative stress. I would venture to say a good thing for us to keep in mind this year is, if you start getting negative stress because you're afraid you're not going to get the cards out, because you're not going to buy the perfect present, because you are not going to get that last dozen cookies baked in time, you need to let it go because it's not that important. If it brings you negative stress, it's not in accord with what this season is about, which is hope. Now, none of us likes to wait. This season is about waiting. I was reading a story about a great pianist by the name of Rachmaninoff that you might know from your musical history. He did a lot of offbeat pieces that he would perform, and in between the different movements of the concertos, there would be an extenuated pause, a silence. And so he would play one particular part of the symphony or whatever, and there'd be a long pause. Then he'd pick up with the second one and so forth and go to the third. And he was performing once for a group of old ladies. And as he relates the story himself, he paused for the first thing and went into the second. Longer pause between the second and the third. When he got to the third pause, this lady comes up to him and pats him on the back and says, "Honey, just play something that you know." We misinterpret waiting. We get it wrong. Nobody likes to wait. But there is this wonderful time of waiting, really, that we are given this time of year, where if we do it right, we can emerge a people filled with hope. Many of you were at the dinner I did about a year ago, and I was really excited because I had come up with this recipe that was one of my favorite desserts from a now extinct restaurant that was called La Ville Maison in Boca, one of the fanciest restaurants about 15 years ago in South Florida. And they did this dessert that was incredible. It was a crepe stuffed with a souffle with a raspberry sauce. Well, I had worked and worked, and I finally mastered that recipe, and I was so excited. I was going to make this crepe souffle with raspberry sauce as sort of pièce de résistance to this meal I was cooking here. Well, the problem is I didn't inform all the people helping me in the kitchen that a soufflé needs air to rise. And so we had all these people folding them over and shutting them like tacos before they put them in the oven, which, of course, prevents the soufflé from rising. And so we ended up serving these flat pancakes with raspberry sauce on the top for the dessert. I was never so embarrassed in all my life. Just like a souffle needs air, we need air. we need to step back a bit, wait, and then reflect on what really matters this particular season. It's important to give gifts. I don't want to discount that. But when it becomes to a point that it's bringing negative stress and anxiety to us, that's not the hopefulness that Jesus wants us to have in this season. You know, there are times when we can reflect back on our past and we know that there were good things that were happening then. They're not happening now, but we can still have hope because we reflect back on what we experienced before and yearn for a return to that. This is what happens throughout the Bible. This is what is happening with the Christians in Luke's time who are yearning for the time when Jesus was around and they were freed of persecution and there was this great momentum going forward. It's the same in the Old Testament for the Jewish people who had the promised land, then they go into exile and all this other stuff that happens to them. And even in the Psalms, they yearn for a return to that. But there is hope because they can remember the way it used to be. Now, there are those times when what if you did not have hope in your past? Your present really stinks. How can you possibly have hope for the future unless somebody helps you to achieve it? That's where we come in. That's where we, as a people of hope, need to give it to the world. Now, I don't often recommend movies in my sermons, but today I'm recommending a movie to you. It is called The Blind Side. It is a true story. It is a story of hope. It tells the story of Michael Oher. Michael, at the age of about 7, was ripped from his mother because she was a crack cocaine addict. His father was long gone. And he becomes basically a homeless boy who goes from place to place, sleeping on somebody's floor or sleeping in an alleyway or whatever. And he is gifted with ending up in a private high school due to somebody who thought he might have athletic ability. There was a family who had kids in that same school by the name of Tui. And the Tui family is driving one particular night over the Thanksgiving holidays on a cold, cold night. And they see from their car Michael walking down the street wearing nothing but a t-shirt and a pair of gym shorts. They stop. The mother gets out of the car and she has this encounter with Michael. We play the first tape.
Stop the car. Big Mike. Hey, my name's Leanne Tui. My kids go to Wingate. You said you were going to the gym? School gym's closed. Why were you going to the gym? Big Mike, why were you going to the gym?
Because it's warm.
Do you have any place to stay tonight? Don't you dare lie to me.
Seen that look many times. She's about to get her way.
Come on. Come on. SJ, make room. Get inside. Come on.
So at that point, Michael goes home with the Tui family and is given a couch to sleep on at night. He ends up celebrating Thanksgiving dinner with that family the next day, and for it seems like a first time in a long time, they don't have their TV trays in front of the football game, but they actually sit together at the dining room table with the TV off, and they talk. Transformation begins to happen. He continues the relationship with that family. And they decide that they would like to offer him a more permanent place to stay. And so Mrs. Tui, for the first time, shows Michael to his room. And here's what happens.
Over here you have a desk, chest of drawers. You have a nightstand, a light, an alarm. Oh, and Sean says all the pro athletes use futons if they can't find a bed big enough, so I got you one of those. Of course, the frame was heinous. It's not about to let that in my house, but I got you something nicer.
It's mine?
Yes, sir. What?
Never had one before.
What, a room to yourself?
A bed.
Well, you have one now.
You can see a transformation is taking place not only in Michael, but in Mrs. Toohey as well. Giving someone hope doesn't end there. They decide that they will start contemplating perhaps adopting him as their own son. Mrs. Toohey goes out with her girlfriends, and she is having an expensive salad at a classy restaurant. And there is a discussion that ensues in which she reveals what is really taking place inside of her. Let us watch the third clip when we're ready.
Leanne, I'm so sorry. We didn't intend to...
No, we didn't, really.
I think what you're doing is so great. To open up your home to him, and... Honey, you're changing that boy's life.
No. He's changing mine.
She's not changing Michael's life. Michael is changing hers. And her entire family. Sometimes we are the ones who are called to give hope to someone who doesn't have it in their past or their present. Now, I'm not slightly suggesting that the first homeless person you see today, you take them into your home tonight. If you're called to do that, so be it. But there's a lot of simpler ways we can bring hope to people, especially in this season. I encourage you in the next couple of weeks, go to the mall. Not with a shopping list, not with things to get or look at, other than to just sit there and observe the people and to notice the craziness that goes on. It's a great way to observe our own hopeful waiting and to put this season into perspective. Or better than that, go to the mall, find the best parking spot you can see, and just hang out there until somebody comes along who looks like they're in a hurry and offer them that parking spot. It'll drive them crazy. Or alternatively, when you're at the cashier at the grocery store or the store and there's a long line, and maybe you've got one item in your hand and you see a mother with a shopping cart load full and two babies behind you, offer her to go first. It might be the only hope that that person receives in this entire season. To be agents of God's hope. Michael Oher's story, it continues. If you want to see the current chapter, watch the Baltimore Ravens football game tonight. And on the starting line, you will see Michael Oher. May we be such agents of hope. Let's take that to our prayer.